begin, just some public announcements. In general, Baruch Hashem, when you have a tzibur that's careful not to see things they're not supposed to see or listen to things they're not supposed to listen to, so they like to hack a lot. Hack becomes like a... because it's a very kosher outlet, so there's been a lot of hack going on about yeshiva, a lot of interesting things that I wasn't fully aware of, that people were saying. But sometimes things are true, sometimes things are not true. So in general, don't believe things until you've really heard them from a really reliable source. So as far as I know, the yeshiva has not yet decided where they're going to be next month, and definitely has not bought any buildings or anything like that, and we are still negotiating with Bill to be back here. But maybe some of you guys know better. I don't know. But that's as far as I know. And if anything does change, I'll let you know as soon as you know I know that that's the case. Now, but on a different note, there is something which some hack that seems to be true is that Be'ez Hashem we will have a new Rebbe in Yeshiva next year. Rebbe Yehuda Wagshall is going to be joining us. Baruch Hashem, very very. Some of you might have met him, some of you might have heard about him. Yehuda Wagshall, he used to be a chavrusa with Rav Moshe Arieli, and he was also my chavrusa for many years. We learned together for 5 years, 5 very special years of my life. And he's a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva, so he's going to have to juggle the two of them, which means that he's going to be saying Shira in the afternoon instead of the morning. We're creating a whole kibbutz, hopefully, for the older Bachrim, which is something that he's very excited about being involved in Yeshiva. Hopefully, he's going to come give a shmooze here sometime in the next couple of days, so that everyone can get to meet him a little bit. He lives in Harnof, so maybe we'll go to Harnof just to get a
sister Ruba.
Maybe that's right. Maybe the Rebbe's from Harnof. We're moving to Harnof. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, not sure. But anyway, that's the Be'ez Hashem for El. He's going to come for El, and hopefully, if everything goes well, continue. He's, like I said, he has a lot on his plate already, but he's very excited about this, about being a part of this. So hopefully we'll be able to, the yeshiva's going to continue to grow and steig in many, many ways. Okay, we were supposed to do Noam Elimelech but because there's a lot of excitement outside going on, the competitions and all that stuff, so I think we're going to have to wait for another week. And I hope that goes very well. I hope the guys play hard and learn harder. I want to thank Yoni for being behind this. Mayor Solomon. Yay! If I understand correctly, Yoni's going to play and Mayor's going to sing. Is that how we're doing? Okay. Anyway, let's go, Rabbi Sal. Let's do a little bit. The Heilige Piyasetz Narebbe. Heilig. So. And we're over here in the eighth parak. And we're speaking about the following thing. Listen to this amazing thing. Page Samach Tes Amid Aleph. There's only Amid Alephs. Sorry. Page Samach Tes. Do we have anyone on the phone with us? Mm-hmm. Just recordings.
Avrumi.
Record?
Avrumi.
Avrumi Brodsky. Gevaldik. Here we are, my friends. Vihine. Kol Yecholis Ha'ish Ha'Yisraeli. Legarish es hara mikir boy. Every yid has the ability. Yecholis legarish es hara mikir boy, to banish, to get rid of the evil that's inside of him, the bad stuff that's inside of him. Lahapoich es atzmoy meira letoiv ulekadesh es atzmoy. To change himself from bad to good, and to be mekadesh himself, to elevate himself. To make himself holy. V'hu al yedei ha-bechira she-nasan Hashem lanu. That's our choice. Person has the choice. And my friends, this is a very important thing. We tend to immortalize our gedolim. Our gedolim were kadosh mi beten. They were always, they were like born, like special. And they didn't really have to work that hard on who they were because they were just born that way. They were born brilliant. They were born nice. They were born pure. They were born. Everything was like. And then nothing. There was no work. And that's really not the way it was. One of the greatest Bali Chesed, which people won't know, this is going to be a shocker for some of you, was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. People know Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, as being a great Rosh Hashiva. He's the one who really, totally revolutionized the way that we learn, totally changed what they called the Brisker Derech. He started the Brisker Derech. Everyone knows him as being a great guy. He was a tremendous Bal Chesed. Let me tell you what a big Bal Chesed he was. This is an amazing story. My father, the Talmud of his grandson, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and his grandson said the following thing. Reb Chaim, when he died, left a tzava that they should write nothing on his matzeva. Nothing, just his name and his father's name, and that's it. Rosh Hashiva of Valozhin, Rosh Hashiva of Brisk, right? Son of the Beis HaLevi. Like, he could write a lot of things about him. He's Benon Shel Kedoshim, and he's got, you know, and all. Nothing, you shouldn't write anything. So his grandson said that the children couldn't hold themselves back, and they wrote two words about him. Rav Chesed. He's a man, Rav Chesed, he did abundant Chesed, he was a Rav of Chesed. So someone asked Reb Soloveitchik, I don't get it, you're so into your grandfather, children are so into Reb Soloveitchik. Everything by the Briskers is the Tata, right, the Zayda. How could you, he said not to do it, how could you do it? They said, so Reb Soloveitchik said that the kinder of the Gehalten, his children held, that Dosse Gewen sein Nomen, that was his name. He said he wanted to write the name. His name was Rav Chesed. It's a Brisker Vart, my friends. His name was Rav Chesed. That was his name. In other words, a name is what you personify. That's what it was. He was Rav Chesed. So they weren't writing accolades about him. They were just defining him. That was his name. Chaim was unbelievable Chesed, what he did. The stories are exceptional. There was a Sreifa in Brisk. There was a fire in Brisk, and a lot of people were out of their house on the other side of Brisk. And Reb Chaim went to sleep in the park, and he said, when other people don't have a roof over their house, I don't have a roof over my house. And he slept until every single person in Brisk had a place to sleep. He was in the park. He gave away, his house was hefker, people were sleeping there all the time. There's a famous story, it's about Reb Chaim, people might not know this. Someone came, people were in his house all the time. Someone came over to Reb Chaim in his house, and is like, who's the balabas over here? So he's like, what difference does it make? He goes, well, I just want to know if he's going to throw me out. He says, I don't know, I've been in here for years. He hasn't thrown me out yet. Reb Chaim was such a Baal Chesed. He used to play with the kids, Reb Chaim, with the little children. You're talking about an extremely, exceptionally brilliant person. He revolutionized the way we think in learning. He used to play with the kids. So they used to play, you know, like they were like, one guy's the wagon driver, you know, so Reb Chaim was the horse. They were the wagon driver and he was the horse, Reb Chaim. So they tied Reb Chaim to the tree and he stayed there. It's like, you know, the kids are like, well, we're coming back in a little bit. And Reb Chaim's there at the tree, you know, thinking and learning, obviously, but he was mamish kulei chesed. But Reb Chaim said about himself, he said, the first time I gave like a big amount of tzedakah, I couldn't sleep the entire night. It like bothered me so much. Because be'etzem, I'm an extremely selfish person. But I worked on myself. I worked on myself to become who I became. It's not just that I was born that way. We don't just like allow ourselves to just go with what's natural. Just obey our urges. This is what I am. You know, and it's a lot of the popular culture today. It's just be comfortable with who you are. Embrace yourself. But no, we can work on ourselves. We have the power to choose to become better, to become a good person. There's a famous medrash that's brought down by the Tiferes Yisrael about Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll share it with you. That Moshe Rabbeinu was making an entire... You know, there was an uproar about the entire world because there was never anyone. I mean, Egypt was an empire and no one ever left, no slaves ever left Mitzrayim. And he brought the empire to its knees. This one man came in and he was just like turning the whole place over. So there was a kingdom that was outside of Egypt. And the guy was interested, the king was interested. I'm like, who is this person? Like, what makes him so special that he's able to be able to do this? a man of God. What is he? And he wanted to know, and he had these elders, these old people, who were able to understand by looking at someone, be able to, it's called Chachmas Apartzif, be able to look at their face and tell you about him. Is he very kind? Is he very wise? Is he very tolerant? Is he very... And he was able, they were able to see, they were able to look, so he wanted them to read Moshe Rabbeinu's face and tell him, what is this man that makes him so special? That he's able to do all these wonders and miracles, and he's able to, you know, like, make this revolution. The problem was, these were old, old people. And he couldn't get them to Mitzrayim, to see Moshe. Moshe wasn't exactly taking a break just so that they could read his face. So he came up with the following idea. He sent his best artists undercover to Mitzrayim. And he told them, I want you to draw a picture, a perfect picture of Moshe, with all of the nuances and the details and all of the wrinkles in his forehead and all of his, you know, the veins that are bulging in exactly the shape of his nose. And he sent all of the best artists, and they draw a picture of Moshe. And they brought it back. And they said, this is a perfect picture. And the elders looked at it, and the elders said, this is a selfish, mean, rude, crude, obnoxious, like every bad word you could tell. And the king was like, what does that mean? I was like, this is a man of God. He's doing miracles. How could that be? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And he knew that they knew what they were doing. He said, okay, the picture must not be accurate. They must be off a little bit, you know? Like, and therefore, they're reading it wrong. The king decided he's going to go himself to Mitzrayim. He goes down to Mitzrayim. He looks at Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's a spitting image of the painting. And he says, excuse me, do you mind if I ask you a question? I don't get it. Okay, I'm a king outside, and I came in, and told them the whole story, and they have my people, and they read the impressions off of the picture, and they said that you're like the most obnoxious, difficult, challenging person around. So why does God love you so much? He said, God loves me so much because I work on myself. If I was born this way, then that's God. God loves me because I've constantly struggling to be good. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're here for. Someone says, oh, I'm not cut out for learning because it's too hard for me. That's the point. That a person who overcomes these challenges, whether it's a challenge in anger, it's a challenge in taiva, it's a challenge a person says, but I like this. That's the point. For a person that doesn't like it, so then there's nothing special about that. Moshe is special because he overcame all of those challenges. There's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara speaks about someone named Elazar ben Dordaya. Dordaya, it's not the most flattering name. Dordaya means lidarder, is to like go down. Dordaya is, he's like, the guy was in the pits. I mean, truth be told, it seems from the Gemara that he was addicted to znus. He was addicted to that. He was with every prostitute that he could find, every single one of them. And then he heard about one that was like far away, cost a lot of money. The guy was addicted. He went extremely far, paid a tremendous amount of money just to get there. I mean, this was like important to him because he was out of control. He was totally out of control. And then there came a moment, an epiphany. Epiphany means that he came and he realized something. And he said the following words. Ein hadavar talui ella bi. I am in control of my destiny. It's not about the way I was brought up. It's not about my friends. It's not about my nature. It's about if I make a decision that I want to do something, then I can make it happen. And if I want to stop, I'm going to stop right now. And he stopped. And he made that decision. And Elazar means that he got a Kodesh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya because he didn't know how he was going to pull out. But he pulled out. And if we realize that we are not a victim of circumstances, we can blame everyone. You could blame your rabbeim, you could blame your roommates, you could blame your parents, you could blame your hometown, you could blame the culture, you could blame everything. But if you realize in the end of the day, ein hadavar talui ella bi. It's all about, if I make a decision that this is what I want to do, nothing will stop me. No one can stop me. We have bechira. We have choice. Don't play the victim. And a person makes a decision, to become good, ulekadesh es atzmai, he can do that. Habehema vehachaya muchrochiyos b'maaseihem. An animal, different types of animal, they're forced. They have instinct and they follow instinct. Machshveiseihem v'cholin yoneihem, everything about them. They're programmed. They are who they are. They can't change. Animals can't change. Behema, Moshe Shapiro says, Adach Maral, Bo ma is it is what it is. Bo, what's in it? Ma, whatever it is. It doesn't change. Behema is Bo ma. And Adam is different. Uliish, Nasan Hashem, Bechira. But a man was given free choice. Sheyuchal livchor es derech hachayim. You can choose to live a life. You can go on the path of life. It's your choice. You can choose which direction you're going. You can change directions if you decide. Adam is miloshen adama, adame. Adama is the ground. Adama is the dirt. Adame is I'm going to be like Hashem. It's our choice. We're just going to stay adama. Adama is just fertile ground. It's just pure potential. That's what adama is. It's got all the nutrients, but nothing more than that. Adame is a person who's doimit Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest thing, the biggest tzaddik that ever was, because he worked on himself. It didn't just happen like that, but it's a choice that we have. Every Kol Ish Yisrael can also make that choice, and he could be who he wants to be. Uch'avrachamon, and like a father, a compassionate father, Mivakesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is searching for us. He's asking us. He's begging us. Es kol echad meitanu, every one of us. U'bachar to b'chayim. L'man tichya. I'm asking you. Choose wisely. Realize you have a choice. Choose life. L'man tichya. It's your choice. Aval ha'ish asher roitze livchor be'echad mishnei drochim. A person who wants to make a choice from one of the two ways. Listen to this brilliant, it's simple but yet brilliant. You have to make two choices. You have to be above the two choices. I have a choice. Do I want to eat chicken or do I want to eat meat? Okay? I could live with the chicken option. I could live with the meat option. I can live with both options. So I can think, is it wise for me to eat chicken now? Is it wise to eat meat? Right? Or if a person can eat chicken or can eat pizza, do I want to be a milkshake, do I want to be flacious? I'm going to be the one of them. They're both great options. Because a person is above this, he doesn't feel like that he is obligated to one of the two sides. Hamedrash Omer, listen to this. Ashrei le'ish asher gavoya mipishoy. Lucky is the person that's above his sins, above his shortcomings. Va'oilo le'ish pishoy gavoya mimenu. What does that mean? We sin. Some people sin. But some people, they feel that they don't have a choice. So a lot of times we're trying to break out, but sometimes we're not really trying. A person has to make a decision. Should he stay in yeshiva? Should he go to work? Is he prepared to stay in yeshiva? Is he prepared to do that? Is he really said, I'm ready for that. If it's the right thing, I'm going to do it with all my energy, with all my strength. Or is he not prepared? If he's not prepared, then he's not really, he doesn't really have a choice. So you're not allowing yourself to really make a logical decision. A person, in order to make heavy decisions, has to be prepared for both sides. Or else we're constantly going to be like explaining to ourselves why this is really the right thing and really should be doing this, because it's not really, because we don't feel like we really have a choice. So the first thing a person has to do when he wants to make a choice is they have to say, am I ready for the answer to be yes or no, right or left? Am I ready for that? Ha'im yuchal ha'shikor ba'oida b'shikrusoy. Can a drunken person, while he's still in the throes of his drunkenness, live chor batoiv, to choose good, u'lahachlet b'daitoy shalo yistaker oid? Can he still make a decision while he's drunk that he's not going to get drunk again? I don't remember who it was. Someone recently just told me a great quote from someone. And one of you here was there present. There was some bacha there with me when he said it to me. Person told him, never go shopping when you're hungry. It's not a smart thing to go shopping when you're hungry, because you're always going to buy way more than you really need. So a person who's drunk shouldn't be making decisions like, should I that I should stop drinking now, because he's just not, he doesn't have that, he doesn't have that mindset. He's not in a place where he can really think about that. He's too caught up in this. Person is really ready to make a wise decision has to be making it from a place where he's above both sides. There's a story. It's a mashal. It's a mashal about a father and a son, and the father was a drunk. He was a drunk, and the son, like, really was trying to do everything he could to get his father not to be drunk, because it was really ruining his life. You know, he couldn't hold down his consistent job, and there was a lot of shalom bias issues because of it, and it was really messing things up. And one time they were walking together, and they passed a guy who was passed out in the gutter, like drunk as a skunk as could possibly be, lying there. And the son, and it looked like the son looked at him and was like, "This is pathetic." So he said to his father, "Dad, you see that guy, that drunk lying there in the gutter?" So the guy, the father walks over to the guy and shakes him. And the guy like looks at him and he says, "Tell me, where do you buy your alcohol? Like, if you're so tied to your drinking, you don't even see, you can't even make a choice. All you see is, oh, wow, he must get some good booze if he's got that drunk, you know? But if a person isn't in a position to really make choices, you then whatever someone tells you, whatever you see is not going to help. Mihu asher yivchar daitoi hamitoyrefes viruchoi hamibulbeles b'yayin. Who is it that now he's drunk? His mind is blurred, and his everything is, his whole system is not working properly. And how is he going to make that decision? Ubame yisgaber ish. How can a person have the strength? Livchor b'derech hakodesh im biruchoi ruach nefesh habehema hayoredes lamata. If right now the animal side of him that's pulling him down, or in his mind, which is full of all of the negoim, all of the wounds of his yetzahara, umeven larashu toif, latoif shura. How's he going to make a decision? How's he going to make a decision if he's so tied? He's so like, he's so conflicted. He has all these yetzaharas that are all pulling him, and he can't be logical. He's just not logical. I have a very close friend of mine, one of my closest friends for, I'd say, close to 30 years now. We know each other. A very special individual. And he grew up in Fort Lee, New Jersey. He grew up to, his father was a very successful secular Jew from, like, you know, from the, his father is already in his 90s today. So he's an older man. Very proud of his Jewish identity, but Michal Shabbos. Now his son, who's my friend, became frum from Mudis, from Machon Shlomo. First went to Princeton, Columbia, FDU, and then became frum. And Baruch Hashem is a wonderful Shema Torah mitzvah today. And his father doesn't buy this stuff. And he's like very frustrated. His son became like, you know, this extreme. Well, he's actually anti-religious, his father, but Jewish, very pro-Jewish. So this guy had three sons. One of the sons passed away young. He's out of the picture. He has a son and a daughter. The daughter lives in LA. She married a German guy. So Nebuch, he has no nachas. His daughter intermarried. He's furious at her. And his son became a Balchuva. He's furious at him. So he had, and the one son that like stayed normal died. So my friend Joe was once talking to his father and he said, "Dad, explain this to me. Can you explain it to me? You're an intelligent man." His father's a very intelligent, very successful businessman. He said, "Do you believe in God? Do you not believe in God? Because if you don't believe in God, so then what's the problem that my sister went and married a guy? Who cares? Like, what's Judaism? It means nothing. And if you do believe in God, so then what's your problem with me? I'm just trying to keep God's word. You know, like, what's... So, like, what do you believe? Dad." And his father thought for a few minutes. He says, "I don't know. And I'm not really interested in thinking about it. Because I'm not going to be happy with either answer. So I'm stuck. And if a person is not prepared for answers, so then you could just, a person can't make them. You can't make decisions. I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to change my life. I'm not. And if a person has that way, so then he can't. So we have to be above our choices. We have to be above our choices, which means that we have to be prepared for whatever this is at stake here. V'ubachein. Mukhrech ha'ish lihis'ale al kol panim lefame. A person has to elevate himself, at least at certain moments. Sheyeh gavoya mipishav. Above his sins. Me'yitzro, above his yetzahara. Minigiyosav, above his own agenda. U'mikol ha'olam. He's got to be above everything. That I'm prepared to make a decision. I want to do the right thing, and I'm ready for it. At this moment, I'm ready. I'm going to know what I'm supposed to do. Uberega shel aliyah, in that moment that he has this aliyah, this elevation, v'tahara zu, royo umargish esatzmoy, he will see and he'll feel about himself, the Yisrael, koroy v'lashem, feel about himself, okay, I'm someone who's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a Yid. V'eskol ma'isei narusoy, and all of his childish actions, shtusim, his foolish actions, V'yitzor m'nitiyosav, and his yetzahara, which is drawing him in different ways, l'nachash, to the poison of the snake, ufesen, and the toxic nature, asher be'atzmo yizbayish, he'll himself be like embarrassed of it, like the way that he's acting, because now he's above it, he doesn't feel like he's forced to do it, v'yifached lo'ymer hoy, ma'kol kach bozi, why am I acting like so low, so childish, so immature, u'mishukotz, ani bemidois v'shtusim guyim ke'elu. What is this? Hoy, ech ani koytef es atzmi. How can I pluck myself? Ve'es shoyresh avoysai nishmas Yisrael asher bi mimekor ha'chaim v'kedusha. How am I like pulling myself away from Torah, mitzvahs, life, purpose, meaning? How am I letting that happen? U'mashlich atzmi, and I'm just throwing myself b'kan shel nechashim in just a nest of snakes, psanim that are poisonous snakes, makom ha'ipush, place of rat and maves and death. What am I doing to myself? Why am I letting this happen? If a person can get above it and he just looks back, it doesn't feel like he has to explain anything, doesn't feel, he's prepared to be honest with himself. Achman letzlan, kulo yischalchel v'kulo yirat, he'll be shaken up and he'll shudder, v'kol kaychay, with all of his strength, yischazik. It's going to take a lot of strength, but he's going to take all of his strength. He's going to be mechazik himself. Yinaras nafsho. He's going to wake him in the neshama up. Gufay min ha'refes. He's going to shake off all of the dirt to min ha'nechashim ha'kuchim bo, and all the snakes that are wrapped around him, and he's going to run away from them. V'yisgaber. He's going to be strong. Livchor me'ato, to make a choice from now. B'chayim b'tahara kedushas Hashem. From now, he's making a choice. He's living kedushas Hashem. Hayim gam ata? You too? You also? Bachar Yisrael? Ein cha margish? Don't you ever feel? Shabiyayim? Sha'atet loymed b'hasmada? A day when you're learning with hasmada, with diligence. U'mispalul b'kavona? A day that you have a good davening? L'fi yocholtecha? As much as you can. Everyone has their limits, but as much as you can. U'bishasha ata miskariv? You get a little closer. Miskariv ma'ad ala kadusha. You get a little closer to Hashem. Aren't you ever embarrassed to yourself? Say, like, I really wish I could be better than this. From the sun. Sometimes we just, some things we do, they just, it's a shtus. Umizuhamim hein beinecha, and you see it as being like something that's dirty. V'kalecha yoser, it's easier for you. Limshol al atzmecha, to control yourself. Uliyasher es kol atzmecha, and to straighten out everything about yourself. Certain moments, when you're in those moments of elevation. V'zehu asher amarnu locha. L'haloy sis atzmocha. This is what we said. You have to elevate yourself. You have to have those moments where a person is going to feel that he's kilu flying. He's above this world. He's above the challenges. Lo yimin toisefes l'tzadikim. It's not just something for like the holy big tzadik. G'doylem b'vadhi. Rakol echad v'fimat zavu. Every person. because we're always getting stuck in ourselves. And in order for us to be able to get out of it, we have to elevate ourselves and be able to look down and be honest and say, okay, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I being right? Am I wrong? Is my davening right? Is my learning right? Is the people I'm with right? Is the way I'm right? Is what I'm looking at right? And you have to be above it in order to be able to. Sometimes we're just so stuck, and this is the way we are. This is what we do, and that's it. The person has to be. He has to look back. He has to be above it and say, you know what? That's wrong. Every person has to have moments. Moments of greatness. Moments of joy in your Avodas Hashem. Moments when you feel the Kedusha. Moments when you feel that there's nothing else you want in the world other than being close to Avodas Baruch Hu. And at that moment, look at yourself. And then you can really live a life that you're going to be happy with, a life that you're going to be proud of. Because Hashem, we're going to continue.